Take a copy of the Word of the Lord and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be reading the whole chapter. This is God's Word. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this reason also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now that is the word of our Lord for us this morning in 2 Peter 1. So we begin the second book of Peter, written by the apostle. It opens with a standard salutation, which is addressed to those who have received faith in Christ. And the first chapter gives us the truth about the gospel at the beginning there, that spiritual growth is a confirmation of one's election. And so you think of Ephesians, and we saw there many times about God's electing us, choosing us. Spiritual growth, growing in Christ, is a mark of one's election. It's a confirmation. And so what you see in verses 3 and 4 is that if you are of the elect and you have received faith, then you've been granted privileges from the Lord. You have been granted divine power. Divine power, you have received it by the Spirit unto everything pertaining to what? Life and godliness. You've been granted the precious and magnificent promises, so that in all these things you are enabled in Christ as a new creation to be like Christ, to bear His image in a greater way now that sin has been dealt with through His sacrifice. Verses 5 to 11, if you are one of the elect, then you've been granted responsibilities as a follower of Jesus, duties. And that is, you see the list there. These things are to be applied to our lives. If we're in Christ, that's what this is what should show forth. And our continual pursuit are these things. Diligence, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. What if you don't have those qualities? What if you're not growing in those qualities? Verse 9 tells us what's true. He says, you are blind or short-sighted. And so therefore, because if that's true, if you're not growing, if you don't have those things, then you are blind or short-sighted. If that's true, then be all the more diligent to make certain of His calling. Pursue those things, is what He's saying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, so that you will have comfort in this life. You'll have assurance, no doubt. You'll have that comfort because of your election. He says, as long as you practice these things, you will not stumble. You won't stumble in your faith. You won't have those great doubts about whether the gospel is true or not, or whether if there's an eternity or not, or whether you're of the elect or you're chosen by God. If you practice these things, He's saying, you are of the elect. If you're growing in these things, He says, you are of the elect. And so, if you practice them, He says, you will not stumble. Because it's in this way, and these ways, that you will enter into eternity with Jesus. This is what you're going to be like forever. These things. You're going to be doing these things. Therefore, we're called to establish God's truth within us so that we're continually pursuing these things. So we know what to do. So we know how to do it through Christ and His righteousness and by the Spirit. And all this fruit, again, it confirms your election in Christ. In verse 12, to the end, we have the truth of the gospel attested by the apostles and the prophets. Testimony. First, Peter states his purpose. What's his purpose in writing 2 Peter? You see here the elders' purpose. To restate that which you even already know. To be reminded and establish the truth of God's Word deep within you. He's saying here, you already know these things. If you're a Christian, you know the bare necessary facts of salvation. And he's saying here that it's his job, it's the elder's job, to continue to restate these things over and over and over and over to confirm in you, to establish firmly these truths. And so that's why the gospel should be preached often. It's why we go through the scripture and then we go back through the same scriptures and we go back through the same scriptures over and over and over and over. To remind us of what we already know. And here, verses 19 through 21 gives us the prophetic testimony. That the prophetic word was made even more sure. And he's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament and all those that pointed to Christ. He said, he's saying it's, their word is made even more sure. Through Christ, He's already come, He's fulfilled all these prophecies about Him, He's done all these things that were shown in the Old Testament. And so therefore, Peter's saying, go back to the Old Testament and read the Word over and over, not just the New Testament, but the whole Scriptures. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And so you must be even more diligent because of this, and you're searching and meditating and trusting upon the Scriptures, because these things didn't come about by what? It's not man's interpretation, it's not man's word, but he's saying it's God's word. This is Jesus speaking. His all, Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus speaking. The whole thing. Not one jot or tittle is not His Word. And it comes by the Holy Spirit to us. And the Holy Spirit uses instruments. That is, men. Prophets and the apostles to bring this Word of what we have now in our Bibles. And so this is God's very Word. And by it, for the elect, He's given it to you. He's given it to us, granted you many blessings. This is one of those great blessings that we have His Word. A greater blessing to us than were in, a few hundred years ago when they didn't have the Word as prevalent. And people could read it in their Bibles. Many couldn't even read. He calls you here to this Christian duty to follow Christ, to live a life of godliness, and He gives you the tool. One of the main tools is His Word. And He gives you elders who are supposed to preach the Word and teach you the Word. And He gives you fathers and husbands who are supposed to do that same thing in the home. And you are even enabled to read it yourself. And so be often in the Word. And that's how He begins this second book. It's only three chapters, but that's how He begins the book. Focus on the Word. And make your election sure by living in godliness. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We often thank You for Your Word. We thank You, but sometimes we go home and we ignore Your Word. Or we even sit here and listen to Your Word, and yet we're not really listening. We're kind of dazed and kind of drifting off sometimes. And we pray that that would not be true of any of us here. We know we have the tendency to do that because our minds wander. We have that sin nature still within us. But we pray that You would guard our minds and our hearts while we're in worship to be focused upon Your Word, to be focused on You speaking to us. Give us discerning hearts, especially as You use an instrument of man to communicate the Word. And Father, we ask that You would show us and confirm within us that election, Your election, that Your choosing of Your people, that You would show forth that every single person in this place today is Your elect, that they would be pursuing holiness and godliness, and they would put on these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. And that You would give assurance and comfort in their souls, that even when they sin, even we'll see with in Genesis with Lot, even when he sins, we pray that we would have comfort in Christ, that we would cling to Him even when we have forsaken Him, that we would come and cling to Him and turn from our sin. That You would cause us to love the brethren, have that brotherly kindness and love, to search the Scriptures and receive knowledge from You and that moral excellence, that godliness, to follow Your Word and live it out, have a great desire to do it, and then enable us by Your Spirit to do it. Now, Father, we know that we can do none of these things apart from Your working in us. We're too frail, we're too weak, we're too weak in our minds, too weak in our souls, and we need Your strength. And so we pray for it now, by Your Spirit, bring it. For we pray in Jesus' name, hear us. Amen.